Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about all of your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture. Today, as always, we have a fun and interesting guest with us. And Howie, you are in charge of a whole lot of stuff.
It seems to be.
The stuff just keeps growing, doesn't it?
It does. It just keeps coming.
So. Well, today we're here to talk about the Great Lisbon Farmers and Hunters Feed the Hungry Christmas Parade.
Yes.
That's a mouthful, like two arms length.
Yeah. We usually just call it the horse parade.
The horse parade. And it's in Lisbon.
Yep.
And the big secret about this is it's Carol and Howard.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
The benefits go to both. And those benefits are deer processing.
Right.
And food banks.
Food banks. That's and the fire department gets a little bit.
The fire department's really important because I don't know about you, but I hope I never have to call them for anything.
Absolutely, yeah. They're always there for the emergency stuff, too.
Always there. Between the vet and the fire department. And a tow truck every now and then. Yeah, you never know. So what is this parade?
It's now the 13th one coming up. They started out as a horse parade. We then got to a point where the horses kind of got too many. And instead of completely, you know, cutting it in half, we actually, the first time we did it, we had just the tractors.
Okay.
And the tractors then with no horses, but everybody wanted the horses back and we wanted the horses back too. So then we brought 250 horses as the limit and we added that to the tractors.
So I have to ask this, the first year when there was just horses and you had too many, if memory serves me right, you were pulling trailers out of mud that year.
Yeah, if it rained, that one year it rained and it was a real mess. And it was really too many horses to deal with. And that was the problem.
If I remember right, too many was 500.
Yes.
That's a lot.
It just swelled beyond anybody's belief. And that's something that had to be corrected.
I love that because it means Maryland really is a horse state.
Yes. Yes. Everybody just really stepped up and we don't want anybody to feel bad about that. We're just glad we can now put it to a point where not only did we get the horses back, but we've also kept the tractors and we've also swelled the tractors into Carroll County. Yep, we put them all together there at the Lisbon Center, and everybody unloads and gets their tractors set up, and they get their floats put together, and they get their people all excited, and we get hot chocolates all over the place, and, you know, signatures for, you know, the getting the release forms out and all that kind of stuff, which is something you got to do, you know, in today's world.
Okay, so but, I've got to ask, how many times, because I know we have a 1914 Buick Doodlebug. And it's a 6-volt converted to a 12-volt and kerosene this and rubber so because it can go on the road, all kinds of stuff. And I have never made it through a parade with this thing. But I am not being towed something. How many times do you have these antique and farm equipment pieces that are towed?
The one year we actually, it was a car that broke down. The tractors have always made it through. So, yeah, the tractors have always made it through. But we did have a car and we had a little bit of an incident with one of the carriages. But yeah, the tractors have always made it through. A couple of them are a little slow, but they've always made it through.
That's really encouraging. I've never made it through a parade with my Doodlebug.
Oh, maybe you have to get in this one so that you can push it through.
Push it. Oh, it's a heavy one. Yeah, it's got metal iron tires. I don't know if I want to push that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. We may have to put a team of horses on the front of it.
There you go.
2 horsepower to get it through.
That'll get it done.
The parade was founded to put Lisbon on the map.
Yeah, and to help feed the needy, you know, through the food banks.
Because that's what farmers do.
Yeah. That's our whole life is making food for people. And that's a thing that back years ago, I know Lambert Sisso and a couple of them had a couple ideas that they wanted to do this. And I wasn't even a part of it then. And they put the whole thing together. And they didn't call me in until they wanted to put tractors in it.
So what is your connection to tractors?
Well, I farm for a living. And at that time, I was president of the Howard County Farm Bureau, and we actually became the sponsor of the parade because they needed somebody with a 501c3.
Some important numbers.
Yeah. So
important numbers.
Whatever they are, to get, you know, make sure everything was on the up and up. And so when they drew Farm Bureau into it, they asked me to be on the committee. And back in the day when I couldn't say no, I ended more committee.
It was a parade that caused you to learn that two-letter word, wasn't it?
Yes. I'm getting there.
It's that sucking sound. You hear it every now and then. I know it comes my way.
Yeah.
But this parade is something really special. And
yes.
It's if I want to warn everybody about this. If you look up the Lisbon Parade, You will find cows in Spain. So if you get on the web and you're showing up the Lisbon Parade, you're going to find the Spanish cows with flowers being paraded through. This is the Lisbon horses and hunters and Christmas. Use those keywords.
Right, right. Yeah, that'll get it.
That'll get it. You won't get cows in Spain. You'll get tractors and horses in Lisbon, Maryland.
Yeah.
And because Lisbon is such an interesting area, it sits between all three counties, actually.
Yes.
Carroll, Howard, and Frederick.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting place. This whole area right along 70 is an interesting place, but, you know, they call it the Line State.
So. Yeah. We're all tied together some way.
We are all tied together. And there's this friendly little competition that goes on. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit. And we're going to have to give Billy some crud because he was supposed to be here with us.
Yeah.
We're going to catch Billy
he's
up
stuck
on
in
this.
Traffic tonight. But
yeah, behind a slow-moving horse. I hope that they hit his windshield. But what this does is it gives processing costs. So it provides money for deer processing.
Yes.
And that's something I'm not sure that people really realize. Can we talk just for a second about that? And we will be having the group come on. We'll be having Mr. White come and talk with us.
Oh, great. That'd be good.
But deer processing cannot be done in the same facility that cattle are processed.
Correct.
Or
yes.
Pigs are processed.
It has to be done in a separate, it can be the same building, but it has to be completely cleaned and started from scratch to begin the butchering of deer.
And it's partly because of wild animal caught.
Yes.
And it doesn't have a farmer behind it. It's just
right.
A wild caught. And one of the things we learned from Carolyn Babylon at Carol Food Sunday is how much the recipients of this feel incredibly special because they're getting to see and use and try these recipes that they're seeing on HGTV and they're seeing on these food networks.
Right. Yeah.
And the real irony, when I told my mother what we were doing, she was, "You're going to eat deer? Are you all hard up or what?"
It's good food, though.
It is. It's farm food. It is truly farm
yes.
food.
They eat, you know, as well as some cattle do, as we all know.
As we all know. So anybody who sees the deer in the fields, they are gleaning nicely out there.
Exactly.
And deer, when the population goes up, eats the crop that the farmers, you, are trying to sell.
Correct. Yeah, they can do very bad damage to corn, soybeans, even small grains, you know, things like that. So
yeah.
And alfalfa. They love alfalfa, too.
Yes, they do. Yes, they absolutely do love alfalfa. The other piece of this that's really important is it highlights the farming community because Lisbon sits in this area, in the circle of Lisbon. There's a lot of folks who commute down counties, if you will, D.C., Baltimore, Montgomery
right.
County.
Yeah.
But it's also a very farming area. It's this area of Howard County that is very rural.
Right.
It has a very different feel to it than, say, Columbia or Montgomery County.
Yeah, the zoning out here has kept it more agriculture than the eastern end of the county. And there are some farms on the eastern end of Howard County and, you know, east part of Carroll County. But you get in the central to the western ends and it's a lot of farming land.
So. It's a lot of farming land. And it's the area that, this is what my husband tells me. He works down in the Laurel area and he says, you know, people come out here with us to see cows.
Yes.
Like, I never thought about taking a Sunday drive to see cows, but on your way to the wineries or to the orchards, you're going
right,
out
you're
to see
buy
cows.
Some, yeah.
You're going to see a lot. Yeah, there's all these things. And the horses. And Maryland is such a horse state.
Absolutely.
As we said here above the equiary at the Maryland Horse Council and the Raising Connection Studios, it's one of those things that it is the number two per capita horse state.
Yes.
And horses are near and dear to your heart because you're just not farming for a living.
No, we board horses as well.
And that's farming. That's work, too.
Yeah. My wife and I run a farm that boards. We also have beef cattle, and we make a lot of hay. So that keeps us right in the midst of all that.
You are right in the middle of all of it.
Horses need hay, and, you know, the hay needs horses, and, you know, back and forth. So it's all – and that camaraderie of all those products is part of what flows into the parade because we're just – continuing to help and feed and nourish, you know, those that need it and are suffering. And there are a lot of people out there that need the food and the handouts that they get. And that's what we want to do is help them out. So,
and the one population, Carolyn Babylon from Carol Food Sunday was one who brought my attention to this. It's not that you don't have, it's that you don't have enough.
Correct.
And it's
yes.
that insufficiency. And one of the things when farmers are feeding people, whether it's their animals or livestock or fuel for the tanks, it is to make sure that you have enough.
Yes.
And the education that goes with that. when we were talking to the Carroll Farm Bureau, one of the ladies groups were sitting in front of us. So I'll give a shout out to all the Farm Bureau ladies groups up in Carroll County.
Sure.
And they said, well, why don't you put a roast in? Because one day you get the roast, the next day you get this, the third day you get stew, the last day you get crackers, and the next day you get, you know, you just use it all week.
Right. Yeah.
And what came out of that blew me away. I have an oven. I can make a roast.
Right.
I have the knives to prepare it. I have the spices to make it taste good and take it through all those different days and its iterations.
All you need is a little guidance.
You need some guidance, but you also need to be able to have a stove.
Yes.
And if you're doing transient living or you've been in a domestic issue or you're moving quickly, the things I've learned, my heavens, and that food insufficiency, how the stability of being in one place gives you security. And when you're moving place to place, that hand
you kind of lose that. Yeah.
You do. Yeah. You really do.
Yep.
When we come back, we have to talk about Carroll versus Howard.
Okay.
Join me, Raishan Mayer, from Mariah Bell Manor Kennel for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon.